Welcome to Packet Pushers, the greatest data networking podcast in the world. Today we are coming to you live from Dell World in Austin in Texas, and I'm joined today with Andrew. Drew, how are you today?
Hi Greg, how are you doing?
I'm not dead. It's been a long day of briefings. I sort of feel some corpse-like syndromes coming on, but it's a bit interesting. Now, we are here as a guest of Dell. They've been very generous to reach out to us and to invite Drew and I to come along. And, you know, full disclosure, they paid for us to be here, and we are really enjoying it. I've learned a whole bunch. Very interesting to watch Michael Dell on stage this morning, get some sort of perspective. I was almost persuaded there for a while, but I'm still sort of carrying a certain amount of cynicism around the EMCD bubble. We'll get to that later. And joining us on the show today is Tom. Tom, please tell the audience who you are and what you do.
I'm Tom Burns, Vice President and General Manager of Dell Networking and Enterprise Infrastructure. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So now we were talking last night. We sort of got together very briefly over a glass of wine to say what it is you do and how we wanted to talk about what you did today. And then what I did is today I talked to a bunch of people, and basically they said that networking at Dell is your fault.
It is my fault. It's absolutely my blame. I came here 3 years ago with the idea of just completely changing the game in networking. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I've had some support from both Marius and Michael, and I think we're on our way to do that. So, you know, I guess if you talk about disruption or change or moving away from tradition, I'm the guy to blame.
We talked about a whole bunch of things. What could we talk about for this show? And the thing that lit up in your eyes when I mentioned it was your open networking initiative. Now, we've been tracking it because at Packet Pushers, we're big on the open source and the open source movement. We think there's real value in there. There's the closed source and the open source, both of them have value. But you've been really pushing this idea that Dell can support anybody's operating system on the devices. Tell what drives your passion around that?
Well, I think it gives customers choice, which is consistent with Dell's strategy, you know, even going back to Michael setting up the company with PCs, right? Taking open, standard, commercially available hardware, packaging it with third-party software, supporting it with a worldwide logistics team, great support, expertise that could get you from point A to point B if you have an issue, one throat to choke sort of thing. And then we started looking at what happened with the mainframe and x86 market. And what happened is you took basically a traditional proprietary world and you moved it to more common, standard, commercially available hardware. When I joined Dell, I actually got connected to JR over at Cumulus, and I went over and saw him, and you know, he showed me the software running on, you know, some bare metal switches. And, you know, he and I started chatting, and I started thinking about, why haven't we done this in networking yet? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at it, for years, you know, I think Force 10 was one of the first. I know back in my days at Alcatel-Lucent Enterprise, we moved away from proprietary silicon and started using third-party silicon. It's just as good, comes pretty quickly.
Yep, the merchant silicon,
you know. And then if you look in particular, you know, some of the spine and top-of-rack switches, relatively standard hardware. We do certain things to design it to bring in some cost benefits around power and cooling and so forth, but pretty commercially available stuff. And then you took a software like Cumulus, and then there's obviously others out there, and you said, why are we continuing to, you know, keep this proprietary world? Why don't we open it up just like Dell did with x86 and Michael did with PCs? And so we launched it two years ago. And I tell you, it was a little scary.
Yeah.
I just kind of thought, you know, either this is going to, you know, make me really happy and we're going to actually drive some innovation here, or I'm going to get fired in about 2 months because that, you know, stupid networking nerd that really didn't know anything anyways, you know, went off and said he was going to do this. But and got great support from my team. And from Michael, as I said, and also Marius.
So you started out with Cumulus.
Yes, that's correct. We started out with we took our standard 10 gig switch, and we loaded Cumulus on it. And you know, the key to that was we made the decision about really our data center strategy, that if we're going to offer Cumulus, but also continue to invest in our own OS, FTOS, we want to give customers the capability to make that decision and give them that choice. And basically, though, use the same hardware, which we have to come back to because I think it's really cool versus some of the things that some of my competitors do.
Yeah.
We use the ONI bootloader. So we used the ONI bootloader, we had Cumulus up and running in a relatively short period of time. We kind of thought about pricing and how we're going to position it, and we launched it. And then we signed with Big Switch. And in the last 4 or 5 months, we've also signed with both IP Infusion and with Pluribus. And both of those products, by the way, are going to be launching this month in both 10 and 40 gig.
Yeah, now most of the audience wouldn't have heard of IP Fusion before.
Yeah.
They've been making operating systems for switches for 20 plus years.
Exactly.
And a lot of the big vendors have been buying their or components of the operating system, if not the entire operating system, from IP Fusion.
Correct.
Have been like in the background. You haven't seen them face front.
Right. Relatively quiet company, but you're absolutely right. It's been around for over 20 years, and it's been writing pieces of the stack for a very long time, mm-hmm. and selling those pieces to various OEMs, you know, mm-hmm. that were building supposedly their own proprietary OS, but inserted certain stacks. Yep. And other companies have been doing this as well. You've got Metaswitch and a few others. Mm-hmm. So what we originally thought about on IP Infusion is really the MPLS capability and going after some of the edge router type of area. Yep. We don't have MPLS in our own code today, so we kind of thought that was an alternative. But we're having a lot of conversations with customers around the data center itself with IP Infusion as well.
Yeah, because FTOS is the traditional operating system.
Correct.
You get on the CLI, you bang the keyboard with your fingers until they're bloody little stumps. But, you know, CompT and all that sort of stuff. I've done some work on FTOS. I've been lucky enough to have a play in a prod. You can do all of the features that you expect you would get in a switch. And it's fully featured. By comparison, Cumulus is still catching up feature-wise, but they're doing it at a great rate of knots.
Yeah, well, what you see, particularly in some of the web-scale, large enterprise, web type of companies, is they don't need all those features. They never use them. I mean, we have a couple of customers that basically, when we start to give them beta code releases and so forth, we would say, hey, these particular features haven't been tested yet, and they would say, I don't really care. I mean, we don't need it. We need BGP, we need, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so what you see is that despite the fact that traditional proprietary operating code, you know, has anywhere from 750 features to 1,400 features that have just continued to carry on over the years of networking, blah, 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 put me to sleep and bang your fingers, as you said. And it's still good for certain environments. But what we saw is that most of our customers didn't need these in the data center. You could argue a little bit on the campus. And so how do we minimize that, accelerate the path to SDN by giving them what they really need? And so we saw opportunities with Cumulus and Big Switch and others that are doing it. And I'm really proud to say, and the reason my eyes lit up yesterday when you asked me about this is because we've got over 300 customers deployed now on both Cumulus and Big Switch around the world.
So it's actually doing it.
There's 300 people buying this stuff. There's 300 customers in different vertical markets, ranging from mid-sized company up to very large carriers that are deploying our product with the third-party software. And they love it.
Yep.
What's the support relationship between
today? Dell takes the first call. We take the first call, and if we determine, you know, that's the benefit of working with someone like Dell, except, you know, instead of a third party bare metal switch provider, we know the software. We know Cumulus, but we know operating software for networking. We know the hardware. So when you call, we can determine if it's a hardware or software issue. A lot of the ODM players out there, they're kind of going direct to some of the web scale. The comments that we heard from those customers is they don't know who to call. Mm-hmm. And when you did call them, they'd say, oh, it's a software issue. And so then you got to do, Dell will take that call, we'll determine whether it's hardware or software, and then we'll turn it over to Cumulus or we'll turn it over to Big Switch. However, we're going to move down the path of doing a bit more with Cumulus to the point where we'll actually take some of the level 2 and level 3. Because Linux is where much of the world in the data center is going. Yep. So our team is actually quite excited, even from a service and support standpoint, to learn it, to understand it, and to help customers, you know, get rid of these challenges of fixing some of the support issues.
And the thing here is that Dell's second greatest, or perhaps greatest strength, I mean, Michael Dell was on stage this morning, he said our time and place, our distribution, that ability to manufacture and then get it to where to be and have the spare parts in all of those places around the world.
Yeah.
That's key. Whereas a company like Cumulus might have a great operating system with the features that you want, but they can't project themselves into Hong Kong or Australia or Fiji or, you know, countries that you don't exist. But Dell's there providing the hardware support. You can provide the software support from your bedroom.
In a bathroom. Absolutely. I mean, that was one of the value propositions that we put forth, in addition to having the networking knowledge, the support capability, it was the whole logistics kind of supply chain, reverse RMAs. So, I mean, when we started thinking this through, I went and interviewed several customers, both existing, you know, Dell networking customers that were using our traditional OS. We interviewed a few of Cumulus's customers. We talked to some other players, and some of the challenges that they were having was exactly this. They would have a problem with the switch. Simply RMAing the product was a big challenge for them. Now, some companies can do that. If you look at an Amazon or a Google, I mean, hell, that's what they do. They move stuff around the world for as part of their business model. But most companies aren't set up like that. And that's really what Dell
this
does
very,
very well.
This is the difference between the hyperscale and the web scale. I think I was talking to somebody and they said, you know, well, at hyperscale, you do all that yourself because that's the only way to make it work for you. But if you're down in the web scale, say you're a couple of orders of magnitude back from Google, you don't want to build a warehousing and distribution system because then you have to have a division of warehousing and distribution, you know, and you have to have a stock and spare parts in colo racks in, you know, all over the world. And that's then arms and legs getting out there. You don't want to do that.
Well, not just the logistics and the support side, but why are they looking at open networking or software defined? They want to just reduce complexity, make it as simple as possible, use common tools and so forth, and they want to manage kind of a platform. They don't want to manage three boxes, a server, storage, and network, right? They want a platform to enable their applications, to enable their business services. They want their team focused on that. They don't want their teams focused on
building
a warehouse, you know, trying
somebody
to understand all this.
Somebody said earlier today that the hardest part about cloud is not the technology challenge, it's the business challenge of changing your process, changing the people.
You know, it's a very good point. And in fact, I was reading an article, it's about 6 months ago now, and you get a lot of questions around software defined and what does it mean and what product is best. I hate that question. It's not about a product. It's about a practice, right? It's about a philosophy. It's about what you are
just
going to do to
Buddha.
Enable.
You're getting very zen here.
I'm getting zen. I'm getting zen. I didn't mean
we'll
to do that.
Start, you know, chanting.
Should we start humming?
Humming?
Anyways, by the way, you know, a lot of the CCIEs are going to start humming because they're going to be bored. Anyways, so back to the point, it's about really simplifying things for the IT directors, the systems managers, and so forth. What's really been exciting and neat, and we've got more work to do, it is the kind of the whole DevOps environment and how they're kind of taking over. You know, a lot of things, or at least the process and the mindset of DevOps, you know, is kind of pushing into the data center.
Let's put that into perspective. They're not taking over, but it looks like they will. Like the momentum that's building behind DevOps. So if, like the people who listen to the show often say to me, Greg, DevOps is not happening. You know, I look in my organization and there's so much inertia, they can barely even get a change put through into the network. But the people who are doing DevOps are showing how fast they can move, how much speed, how much money, more money they can generate for a given piece of effort, that I think DevOps is coming. But
I think we're seeing it. It's coming. Yeah. I, like I said, I don't think it's completely taken over. But what's interesting is a lot of the decision makers for open networking is coming from the DevOps guys. Yeah. It's not coming from the traditional networking guys. But they're kind of pushing it into the networking guys. If you look at a lot of companies, they're starting these software-defined or this non-proprietary, more open source in kind of the CTO office, in kind of these special organizations that don't get kind of hampered into the day-to-day, I got to be traditional, I'm going to stick with the same old stuff. And it's kind of neat how it's pushing into there. I think it's a huge opportunity for us, not just in networking, but across compute, storage, networking, and so forth. And the fact that it's not, I mean, just look at, you know, the number of startup companies that are really geared towards either open source or common tools.
Well, the thing is,
you know, got all this investment coming from VCs and so forth. It's incredible.
Take it back for a second, because every tech company you talk to, and it's been talked about a lot today, is innovation. The flip side of innovation is risk. And you had mentioned at the outset that taking this open networking idea to the company was a risk. And I'm curious, what was the potential downside for the organization and for you professionally if this didn't work out?
Well, I'm not sure there was tremendous business risk because you're starting from nothing, right? You're taking a networking business that was relatively traditional, the acquisition of Force 10 combined with Dell's kind of Power Connect campus business, and you had a big growing networking business. And so the business would have continued. You could have had the fallback to the tradition. But, you know, would competitors kind of stated, even in a common RFP, well, you don't want to work with Dell. They came up with that crazy idea around disaggregation, and gosh, that was kind of a joke, nothing. Or let's just say it stayed with one customer instead of 300 customers. The credibility around it really would have been challenged. And, you know, what was really exciting, you know, as part of this process as well, is when HP announced their open networking initiative.
Right.
You know, love it. Love it. What I really loved was what HP announced, their open networking initiative, because it kind of said, it reinforced what Dell was doing around this disaggregation. Now, how they're positioning or how they're doing it, I think it's not as strong as our story. We changed our development process for our data center switches to include Oni on all of our hardware platforms, mm-hmm. giving customers the choice right away. A customer can go start with Cumulus or Big Switch or now Pluribus and IP Infusion. And if they decide that for whatever reason in their environment, the lack of features, the capability, the tools, they don't like it, they basically buy an FTOS license and they download it to the switch that's already wired and so forth. No infrastructure upgrade.
That flexibility, I think we misunderstand that. You could start off today with a Big Switch network and you've chosen to run with OpenFlow. And if for some reason that doesn't work out for you, there are secondary choices you can now make.
Absolutely.
You can go back to FTOS or...
You could go back to our Dell operating software 9.x, which is primarily the FTOS software, and you don't rip and replace the switch. That's not the case today with HP Acton Cumulus solution. With all due respect and the love, the fact that they joined this particular, you know, wave of open networking, you know, it's an OEM box.
Yep.
It's a product that HP is not really designing, and then they give it to the customer. If the customer doesn't like it, you're in essence ripping and replacing a switch. Dell, and by the way, this is consistent across with all of Michael's thinking and Dell strategies. We respect companies' infrastructure investments, and we want to protect that. So if they want to trial SDN, they can do that. But if they say, you know what, it's not for us, they can roll back to
reformat the switch.
Yeah.
Just like you would a server.
Exactly.
Let's try Linux for a while. Oh, that didn't work out. We'll reformat it, put Windows on and repurpose it for something else.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's a real opportunity to advance software defined, and it kind of gives customers that choice that they don't have to jump in right away.
Let me ask you a question about destruction, value destruction. So one of the problems with open source for incumbent vendors is every time an open source product comes along, it takes away the value of proprietary software. So software that's been developed for 20 or 30 years, you look at what Linux has done to the Microsoft Windows market, for example. It took a long time for Linux to come through, but now all of a sudden Microsoft's market is starting to sort of show signs of slowing down because Linux is beginning to replace, you know, in the cloud we use Linux, we don't usually use Microsoft Windows. So there's a whole destruction of value in there. Is that a net negative for the industry as a whole and maybe even for Dell, or is it a benefit in other ways? Is it balanced out?
I think it's a tremendous benefit for customers, right? To have this capability to have, you know, potentially multiple vendors, open source tools available to them, an open source community for support. So tremendous value to the customer, and that's what we're focused on. You know, there was some time ago when we first launched the Open Networking Initiative, I heard Michael in an interview. I was actually on the call just in case, but I don't think I answered a single question. Mm-hmm. He answered them all because this is what he truly believes in.
Yep.
And when it comes to driving a business with X margins versus Y margins and focusing on lowering costs, he was like, bring it on.
Yep.
You know, this is something that Dell does really well. So I think that there's certain environments, so I think this is important, that will probably continue to be traditional.
Yep.
Just like we say that, you know, we talk about traditional IT versus future-ready enterprise. And Dell's focused on customers kind of running a hybrid of both, saying we know that there's certain applications, certain things that you don't want to push forward, you don't want to be in the software defined, but there's others that you could potentially put into the cloud. There's others that things that you can do. So I think it's not driving value or devaluation of the software, it's bringing value to the market.
Okay, let's talk speeds and feeds for a minute. We've only got a couple of minutes left before you've got to run to your next most important meeting. And so the couple of products that are coming out, we've got the Tomahawk, which is the new merchant silicon that's coming out from Broadcom, which is the 100 gig.
Right.
It's got, 100 and something 100 gig channels inside of it, 9600 gig ports.
Yeah.
And so you've got the Z9100. Tell us, let's walk through what those models look like.
So you got the Z9100. That was our first 100 gig platform that was announced that will begin shipping next month.
Mm-hmm.
Great conversations with customers about the acceptance, looking at, you know, 25x4, the various options, you know, 10x10. And the first one is 32 ports of 100 gig based upon the Tomahawk 2. We also just announced a product that will begin shipping in January called the 6100, which is really designed to be optimized around a 64x40, but it's using the Tomahawk. It's a kind of a fixed form factor as it relates to the chassis itself, but modular inside, giving customers the option to have 25 gig, 50 gig, 100 gig, 40 gig, and so forth within the same product. And I don't think there's anyone in the industry that's delivering something similar. And that product was announced 2 weeks ago, will be shipping in January. Again, both products will be open networking ready. Cumulus will be following about 30 days after on our 9100 product, and then we'll see Big Switch and others come along. So, you know, really giving customers both the speeds and feeds that's happening with all of these applications and big data in the data center, continuing to focus on fixed form factor, getting the networking closer and closer to compute, and then offering the disaggregated view.
Yeah, I'd like these switches because I think that if you haven't gone to 10 gig today, you might want to think about going straight to 25.
Absolutely.
It's really that price point for the 25 is only 1.5 times what a 10 gig is, but you're getting 2.5 times the bandwidth, and you don't have to recable if you go straight to 25. It's a tough decision, I'm sure, but it's worth thinking about.
Oh, absolutely, and actually most of the environments we see in our beta and initial customers is going to be 25 gig, but great infrastructure protection again. You know, right? You can move when you're ready. We see a lot of that on the 25 gig connectivity at kind of the top of rack, and then connecting up to the 100 gig in the core.
Yeah, 40 gig doesn't pay. It's expensive.
You know, we don't have enough time as to how the IEEE and all of us came up with 40 gig. The math just doesn't seem to add up, but we all did it. We all released our 40 gig switches, and there was a lot out there. Seems like if we'd go back in time, maybe we would have changed that, but who knows?
Tom, thanks for joining us on the Packet Pushers today. Where can people find more about the products?
www.dell.com/networking. It's all there. In addition, follow me on Twitter if you want, TBurnSoCal. I'm tweeting a lot about our new products. A lot of stuff here at Dell World that's been announced today on various lines of products across server storage and networking, our new platform with Microsoft, actually. Love to be connected.
Closing thoughts, Drew?
I think it's exciting to see Dell take a chance, take a risk in the market, and essentially say we're going to try something new, and we're going to risk maybe not necessarily loss of business, but certainly potentially some reputational damage by saying, let's open it up. Congrats, and then we're excited to see this go forward. And I think I do agree that the HP move is kind of a validation and indication that, you know, that the traditional hold on the market is starting to crack a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate that.
I've often said on the shows that having two networks, a data center is not one network, it's lots of small networks. So stop building like a big tree and everything's got to be one brand and it's got to be paved over with concrete and be flat. You should have different networks for different things, I think, in a modern data center. So over here is your SDN network that supports your OpenStack or vCloud, you know, vRealize infrastructure. And over here is your traditional network built that way, right? But what Dell's done is said, well, over there you might run FTOS in that traditional safe, you know, spanning tree, MLAG, blah, blah. But over here is my Cumulus Linux running my OpenStack infrastructure. But you're giving customers the option to have the same hardware in both parts.
Absolutely.
And that's quite a unique value
same
proposition.
Same support, same logistics, everything.
So thanks for listening to the Packet Pushers. As always, you can follow us up on the website. Hit the website to leave comments, ask questions, and if you leave them there, I'll make sure they get to Dell so that they get responded to. You can follow us on the Twitter is @PacketPushers. Send email to us at packetpushers@gmail.com. We always love to hear your feedback and any comments that you've got to make. Send them to us privately if you've got any questions or answers. But as always, remember that too much networking would never be enough.